Welcome to Epic Church. Happy Father's Day to all of the dads in the house. Happy Father's Day to the dads joining us online. So glad that you guys are here. And hey, happy Father's Day to my dad. If you're watching, love you, Pop. Glad you're here. And I'm the guy that I love those kind of jokes. I struggle to understand people that don't love good dad jokes. And what I've learned over the years, best thing about Father's Day, hands down, it's the one day that our families have to tolerate our dad jokes just a little bit more. Yeah, so I live for it. I love it. I got mine ready to go. Not only that, we're continuing our series Soundtracks today. Hopefully, you've been enjoying that. And I've also learned over the years that dads have a soundtrack that they listen to. The problem is it's only about 8 tracks long. Track 1, were you raised in a barn? Track 2, boy, I know you did not just roll your eyes at me. Track 3, don't make me turn this car around. Track 4, come on, Dad, you with me? I'm not sleeping, I'm resting my eyes. Track 5, go ask your mother. Track 6, because I said so. Track 7, do I look like a bank? And my personal favorite, track 8, I brought you into this world, I can take you out, and I can make another one just like you. Yeah, I was gonna say that there might be some awkwardness in the room, but y'all are really dialed in. I'm with my people today. I love this. Here's what I also know. Some of us, and dads, looking at you, some of us have another soundtrack that plays beneath all the funny ones. A soundtrack that says, I gotta figure this out all by myself. A soundtrack that says, nobody really understands what I'm carrying. A soundtrack that says, it's all on me. I see you, men. More importantly, God sees you. And over the last few weeks, we've been talking about the soundtracks that we hear playing in our heads as we live our lives, as we walk out our faith journey. And the truth is, we all have a soundtrack that plays in our head that helps inform our decisions, our responses, our feelings, and our beliefs. For instance, when I hear this, come on, y'all feeling it? We need some air guitar. Living on a Prayer. Yes. Like it was the soundtrack to the 80s, and it takes me back to being in fifth grade, standing outside of the school waiting for the bell to ring with Toby and Jay and Richard and Jason. And we're playing pencils. Y'all remember when you try to break somebody's pencil with your pencil? Yeah, we're playing pencils. And then we're taking the one that didn't break and we're trying to fix the cassette tape where we were jamming on Toby's Walkman to that song, and we're trying to rewind it and fix it. Some of the kids in the house are like, what's a cassette tape? I don't have time for that. Ask your dad. All right, he'll tell you. But I remember what that felt like. I remember being in my bedroom, listening to the top 40 radio station, waiting for that song to come on so that I could record it. And I was doing it as quietly as possible because mom and dad said Bon Jovi was not a Christ follower. So they couldn't know what I was doing, but I had to listen to it some way, right? I remember that. Or there's other soundtracks. For instance, Mitch, if we hear this one. Y'all getting it? For some of you, Ice, Ice Baby. For others, maybe it's Queen, David Bowie. Yeah, I go back to the 90s. I go back to high school on this one. Every pep rally I ever attended in high school. Man, I remember the smell in that place. Students packed in as tight. It was not good. I remember Michael Dennis on stage with his Vanilla Ice dance moves trying to pep the student body up for the upcoming football game. I can hear it blaring through the PA system and all of us singing to the top of our lungs, "Ice, ice, baby." My good friend Chris Mosley rolling up in his white ragtop 5.0 Mustang with the red leather seats. We were all jealous of that car. We wanted that car. I remember those things. There's another one that I remember that stands out. It's probably a little bit lesser known, so I didn't ask Mitch to play it, but it's a song called "Lunatic Fringe" by Red Ryder. Oh, I really am with my people. Let's go. That takes me back to the mini gym that our wrestling team practiced in every day. Ricky and Scott, Keith and Kyle and the rest of the team. That was a whole different kind of smell, y'all. I remember Coach Arrington blowing his whistle at us, constantly reminding us that we were not as good as we thought we were. Saying things like, "Somewhere out there, someone is practicing harder than you. And when you meet them on the mat, they will beat you." He was such an encourager. I remember the pegboard on the wall that we were all expected to be able to climb up to the top. I remember the rope 30 feet high in the air that only some of us made it to the top. I don't mind telling you, I got to the top of the pegboard and I got to the top of the rope. It was a long time ago, but I did it. Those songs from those bands, they'll probably never share a stage. But what they all have in common is that they each make up a soundtrack in my life's journey. And just hearing me talk about those three soundtracks from my life probably reminds you of songs and memories from yours. And the playlist that you and I unknowingly curate during our lives, man, that makes for interesting dinner party conversations. But music is only a small part of a much bigger story. Your thoughts are the internal soundtracks that you listen to, even more than your favorite song. Over the years, you've built a soundtrack for your career. You've probably built a soundtrack for your relationships, for your dreams, for your beliefs. You've probably built a soundtrack for every aspect of your life. And if you listen to a thought long enough, it becomes part of your permanent playlist. And here's what we know about soundtracks. They have the ability to completely transform or shape a moment. If you don't believe me, go back on YouTube, watch week two of this series. Trent plays a video of some animals out in the wild, and you can see what difference a soundtrack makes in your life. If you missed that week, go back and watch it. If you were here, go back and watch it anyway. It was a great, great message. But it unpacks that. Soundtracks made of thoughts are even more powerful. I read recently where retired Navy SEAL David Goggins said, "The most important conversations you'll ever have are the ones that you'll have with yourself. You wake up with them, you walk around with them, you go to bed with them, and eventually you learn to act on them, whether they be good or bad." Unfortunately, when we don't create, when we don't curate, when we don't choose what soundtracks that we listen to or that make up our thoughts, folks, the music doesn't stop. You'll hear a bunch of songs that you don't like. So today I want to help us change what I think is a very common soundtrack that I think we push play to with a soundtrack that we actually should keep on repeat. So grab your Bibles, grab your phones, your tablets, however you access God's word. If you don't have one, we do have Bibles in the back. Please grab one today. That's our gift to you. You're welcome to take that, but you can also see this on the side screens. We're going to jump into probably one of the most famous passages of scripture that you're going to see in God's word, Psalm 23. And I'm going to be reading out of the NIV today instead of the NLT because there's some language that the NIV uses that I want us to lean into. But here's what it says. Verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, before we get too far into Psalm 23, I want you to notice something. David, the author of this psalm, begins with images of comfort. He begins with images of peace. He begins with images of being seen and cared for by God. Talks about green pastures, right? Quiet waters. Talks about a refreshed soul. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? But if we're honest, that isn't always the soundtrack that's playing in our heads. Because while some of us walked into church today and we're hearing that soundtrack, we're hearing the soundtrack of peace and comfort and quiet waters and being seen, there's others that walked in today, you're hearing a different song altogether. Maybe your soundtrack sounds something like this. I'm on my own. Nobody really understands what I'm carrying. I have to figure this out for myself. If I don't handle it, nobody else will. Nobody sees me. Maybe your soundtrack was the Boulevard of Broken Dreams. It's the soundtrack of loneliness. And what's interesting is that we live in the most connected generation in the history of our world. Yet loneliness has become one of the defining struggles of our time. We have thousands of followers on social media, but we have very few actual friends. We have hundreds of contacts in our phone, but very few confidants. We can reach anyone at any time, yet many people still go to bed every night feeling alone. And here's the thing, loneliness does not care how old you are. Like, there are students that gather together in this cafeteria every single week surrounded by other students, and they feel completely alone in a crowded room. Single adults, you can feel alone in an apartment. Married people, they can feel alone sitting right next to their spouse. Parents can feel alone with the weight of their family. Even people surrounded by a church family can quietly wonder, does anybody really see me? The soundtrack of loneliness doesn't always scream. Sometimes it whispers, and it whispers things like, you're forgotten. You're unseen. Nobody's coming. You're on your own. Life is too hard and no one is coming to help. And if you listen to that soundtrack long enough, you start believing that it's true. What's fascinating to me is that when David writes Psalm 23, folks, he's not writing from a beach chair on vacation. He's not sitting at a coffee shop filled with inspirational thoughts. He's not sitting in a secluded mountain cabin with a crackling fire and the snow falling down outside. He's writing as a man who knew loneliness. He's writing as a man who knew betrayal. He knew disappointment. He knew fear. He knew caves. He knew the enemies. He knew the dark valleys. He knew loneliness, and he had already experienced at a very young age how hard life could be. Yet somehow, in the middle of all of that, David is hearing a different soundtrack. While everyone else is hearing you're alone, David is hearing something entirely different. And that's what I want us to discover today. Because if we're not careful, we will spend our lives listening to a soundtrack that God never intended on repeat. So let's go back to the text. Let's see if we can discover some of what David might have been listening to. Verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. You know, David could have chosen 100 different images or metaphors for God, but he didn't. He could have chosen, the Lord is my king. He could have chosen, the Lord is my judge. He could have chosen, the Lord is my warrior. All those would be true, but he chooses shepherd. Why? Because a shepherd is present. Because a shepherd leads. A shepherd protects. A shepherd provides. Folks, a shepherd stays. David leaned into the imagery of a shepherd because David knew more than anybody what a shepherd's role was, because he lived it. That's who he was, and he understood that's who God is to us. And maybe that's why the soundtrack David is listening to sounds so different from ours sometimes. Because while many of us are listening to the voice that says, you're alone, David is listening to a voice that says, you have a shepherd. See, before David gets to the green pastures, before David gets to the quiet waters, before he gets to restored souls, he starts with this truth: the Lord is my shepherd. Because if that's true, then loneliness does not get the final word. When David says that the Lord is my shepherd, he's not just giving God a title, folks. He's declaring an identity. He's saying, I'm not alone. He's saying, I'm not abandoned. He's saying, I'm not forgotten. I'm not left out to figure this out by myself. I have a shepherd. Think about it. Soundtrack of Loneliness says, nobody sees me. The shepherd knows every sheep. Soundtrack of Loneliness, I'm on my own. A shepherd never expects sheep to lead themselves. Soundtrack of Loneliness, no one cares what happens to me. A shepherd is responsible for the well-being of the flock. Soundtrack of Loneliness, I have to carry this by myself. A shepherd carries what sheep cannot. Soundtrack of Loneliness says you are on your own, and a shepherd says, follow me. So if you have a soundtrack of loneliness playing in your head in this season of your life, I want you to grab hold of what I'm about to say. Because I mean, if you hear nothing else I say today, I hope you hear this. Even though you feel alone, even though you feel like no one sees you, even though life is hard, Jesus invites you to follow him anyway. Let that sink in for a moment. He invites you to follow him anyway. Why? Well, look back at verse 4 with me. Because David doubles down on what a good shepherd is and lives out. Verse 4 says, even though I walk through the darkest valley. Anybody been through some dark valleys in here? I thought so. It says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Do you see it? Jesus invites us to follow him regardless of how desperate or difficult life becomes, because he is with us. Folks, he's with us. If you came here looking for some profound truth today, I'm sorry, all I have is the simple truth for you. And the simple truth is this: no matter what you're going through, no matter what you've been through, he is with you. And that is enough. Folks, that's the cue some of you have been looking for, to change the soundtrack of loneliness to a soundtrack that sings, I am not alone. No matter how isolated you feel, no matter how desperate things are, no matter how hard life gets, you can find peace. You can even find hope in the truth that Jesus is with you. And he's not just with you before things get difficult, before things get hard. He's not just with you when things get better. Folks, he's with you in the middle of the storm. And when you and I live in light of that, when we determine that even though life is hard, I will not be alone or afraid because you are with me. When we live in light of that, it changes everything. One of my favorite pastors, Louis Giglio, he calls this, even though I will faith. You see, all throughout scriptures, we see example after example, people in situations where life just closes in on them, where feelings of isolation and abandonment start to set in, and it might seem logical for them to give up and live the rest of their lives living to the wrong soundtrack. Does anyone recognize the name Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? For those of you that don't, I encourage you, go to Daniel chapter 3. You can read about these guys. But three young men lived centuries ago, refused to acknowledge a man above God, refused to acknowledge or listen to the soundtrack that everybody was listening to. Any WWE fans in here? Okay, very few. They were living in a time where the king was kind of like Roman Reigns. And if you know who Roman Reigns is, he stands in the screen, he stands in front of thousands of people. Every time he goes on camera, he wants people to acknowledge him. That's his catchphrase, acknowledge me. And the crowd usually goes crazy. There's usually one wrestler who's like, yeah, dude, I'm not acknowledging you. I'm going to beat you. Like, it's part of that storyline. Well, this is that moment. There's a king that says, I am above God. I am above everybody. Acknowledge me. And these three young men said, not going to do that. You might be king, but you are not above God. And so what did they get for their courage and their defiance? They got thrown into a fire, all three of them, to be burned to death. But if you've heard the story before, do you remember who's in the fire with them? Do you remember they weren't alone? They threw three into the fire, but they looked in and they saw four. God was with them in the midst of the fire, and they came out of the fire unharmed. Their faith grew in the process. Even though they were pressured, even though they were threatened with their lives, they said, I will not acknowledge a man above God. They had even though I will faith. I'm actually reminded of a scripture verse in one of the Old Testament prophet books of Habakkuk, chapter 3, verses 17 through 18. This is coming out of the New Living Translation. Look at what it says. It says, even though the fig trees have no blossoms and there are no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crop fails and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. Did you catch it? Three times he says, even though. In verse 18, he repeats the words, I will. The prophet basically says, hey, even though there's no harvest, even though the crops fail, even though the fields are desolate, and even though the stalls of provision are empty, I will still be joyful and glad because God is my Savior. The Lord God is my shepherd. I have not lost my faith. In fact, my faith is even greater. I'm still going to rejoice in the Lord. I'm still going to worship God. I'm not going to play that soundtrack that lies and tells me I'm alone when I'm not. I'm going to listen to the soundtrack of God's word that declares, my shepherd is with me. That's a great place for amen. Friends, listen, I stopped by today to let you know that the Christian faith is not one that only believes when the sun is shining. It's not a faith that fails under pressure. In fact, it should get stronger when the pressure is on. Our faith says, even though life is hard, even though I feel alone, I will praise the Lord. And his word reminds me that I'm not alone and his word never lies. See, developing an even though I will faith, that changes the temperature and that changes the trajectory of our lives. When the pressure gets stronger, so does our faith. And our faith grows stronger when we replace the soundtracks that lie to us with the soundtracks that speak truth. We have a shepherd who says, follow me. a shepherd who knows his sheep, a shepherd who makes us lie down in green pastures, who leads us beside quiet waters, who restores our soul. And as I've studied this passage of scripture, and folks, I have lived in Psalm 23 probably more than any other passage of scripture in God's word. As I have studied it, I've learned some fascinating things about sheep. Did you know that when a sheep becomes separated from the flock, it starts to panic? Like its heart rate literally increases. It becomes disoriented. It starts making really poor choices. And the longer it remains isolated, the more vulnerable the sheep becomes to predators. Why? Because the sheep were never designed, hardwired to survive alone. In fact, one shepherd describes how a lost sheep will often lay down and simply stop moving. They'll give up if they're isolated, if they're alone. It becomes so overwhelmed and frightened, it just gives up. Think about that. Isn't that exactly what loneliness does to you and I? Like the soundtrack of loneliness says, you're on your own. And the longer we listen to it, the more fearful we become. The more anxious we become. The more isolated we become. The more vulnerable we become. Eventually, we start to believe the lie that nobody sees us, nobody knows us, and nobody's coming for us. But folks, that is not the soundtrack of the first part of Psalm 23. The soundtrack of loneliness says stop, but the soundtrack of the shepherd says you're not alone. The shepherd is like the lead vocalist in the band, and he's saying, I am with you, follow me. The soundtrack of Psalm 23 begins with five powerful words. The Lord is my shepherd. Not the Lord was my shepherd. Not the Lord might be my shepherd. Not even that the Lord is a shepherd. David says, the Lord is my shepherd. That means I'm known. It means I'm seen. It means I'm protected. It means I am loved. And most importantly, it means that I am not alone. Church, greatest truth that Psalm 23 has is not that there's green pastures. It's not the quiet waters. It's not the restored soul. The greatest truth in Psalm 23 is that there is a shepherd who is with us. And if there's a shepherd who is with us, if there's a shepherd at all, it means that there are sheep that refuse to be abandoned. See, some of you walked into the room today and you're listening to the soundtrack that nobody cares. You're listening to the soundtrack that nobody sees you. You're listening to the soundtrack that says, I'm on my own. I know there's some men in here. I know there's some dads in the room or joining us online who are here today and they're carrying burdens that nobody knows about. They're providing, they're leading, they're protecting, they're fixing, they're caring. But secretly, they're wondering if anybody sees what they're carrying. But the shepherd says, I know your name. The shepherd says, I know your struggle. The shepherd says, I know your fears. I know where you are. And I've never left you. In fact, I am with you. So today, maybe the invitation isn't to try harder. Maybe it's not to do better. Maybe it's simply stop listening to the wrong soundtrack and start listening to the voice of the shepherd. I heard a story recently of a father and son that were driving through a really bad storm. I mean, the rain was so heavy, they could barely see what was in front of them. The lightning was just lighting up the sky and the thunder sounded like it was in the vehicle with them. And at some point during their trip, the little boy gets scared, but he asks his dad, he said, Dad, are we gonna be okay? And the father pulls the vehicle over and he puts his hand on his son's shoulder. And he said, son, I don't know when the storm is going to end, but I'm right here. You see, folks, the storm doesn't just stop when we're alone or afraid. The lightning doesn't just disappear. The rain doesn't let up just because we want it to. But the boy relaxed. Why? Because he learned in that moment that peace was not found in the absence of the storm. Peace was found in the presence of the Father. Psalm 23 does not promise that the valleys are going to disappear. It promises that the shepherd is there with us. That even though life is hard, I will not fear because Jesus invites us to follow him anyway. And maybe for you, that's the thing that you're going to walk away on June 21st, 2026, Father's Day weekend at Epic Church, that it was the first time that you realized that Jesus was inviting you to follow him and that your heart was open to it. Just a moment, worship team's gonna come out. We're gonna sing a song called Reckless Love. Talks about leaving the 99 to go after the one. Talks about the shepherd who is with us in the storm. And if you're here today and you want to accept the invitation to follow the shepherd, you want to make Jesus your Lord and Savior, I'm just going to invite you in the midst of that song to have a conversation with God. Just acknowledge where you are. He sees you anyway. Acknowledge what you're struggling with. Ask him to forgive you of your sins, to make you a new person, and put your faith and trust in him. Pray with me. Father, we love you. God, your word declares that we don't have to be lonely. We don't have to be alone. We don't have to try to make it through this thing called life standing on our own two feet. Because you're our shepherd and you are with us. I pray that we would allow that to not only be enough in our lives, but Father, we would live in light of it in everything that we do. And as we get ready to sing this song, for the person, maybe the dad, that's here today, and they've never been willing to follow you, they've been trying to do everything on their own, God, I pray that today would be the day of salvation, that they would develop and adopt an even though I will faith. I pray these things in the name of the Father, name of the Son, name of the Holy Spirit.